Welcome to Embrace the Hate. I am one of your two co-hosts. Give me that hate.
Are we really co-hosts?
What do you think of it as?
I like to think of it as like a dictator partnership.
First off, I hope that's in the camera shot. These hands and the thumbs started twiddling like Mr. Burns, first of all.
Excellent. The other day, I saw a picture of me at the Comedy Store, and one hand was like full Mr. Burns. And I was like, that is so creepy. Why the fuck was I standing like that? And it wasn't until later I realized that my hand was on a microphone stand.
Oh, over the top?
Yeah. Okay. But I just honestly thought I was just standing there unaware that I was just...
Just T-Rexing with kind of with one
That's
hand.
What it looked like. Just I'm like, people are going to think I'm one of them palsy comics.
I think you got a little teapot bit and you're just working this out.
Is that part of the teapot?
Well, a really sad teapot.
That's the spout?
Yeah.
I got it now.
Tip me over. Really? We had to explain a child's nursery rhyme.
I learned it that way. That's the...
Of course, but what is that? That's, sad little teapot.
That's the tard pot.
This is the neti pot.
Yeah.
This is for up the nose.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, back to this co-dictatorship. My name is Matt Nost. Welcome to Embrace the Hate.
I'm old Dick Ingram. Your modern day Lucifer.
You did miss that as a calling.
Yeah. I can't even guess how incredibly successful I'd be had I just stuck with Dick the whole time.
Dick, and also, I think you were a little too aggressive on selling your soul to the devil, and he was like, back off, guy. It's fine.
Look, the devil has been scared of me since I was probably 12 or 13 years old. That's a well-known fact. A lot of people...
What completely non-made-up story is about to come down the fucking pike here?
Oh, there's no story. Yeah, anyway, he just sensed
it. I met the devil, right? I came to a crossroads, Lawrence, Kansas.
I came to a crossroads.
We were downplaying Shawnee Central, East, West.
There was a church in Kansas. It's one of the eight gateways to hell. And you throw a bottle, you smash it against the wall. If it breaks, you're going to hell. If it doesn't break, heaven.
So this, okay, perfect. Medieval times.
One of these types of places.
Sure. This sounds like it's older than the country itself. This is amazing.
People been doing this since the 1400s.
But they had built the church here, pre-Eastern influence, so they just miraculously.
Natives actually built the church.
Of course.
In anticipation.
Or the other population bases that could have made it.
There was a pretty strong contingency of Russians.
All right, they came across the peninsula way back when.
They came across the Bering Strait,
mm-hmm.
and they just hoofed it straight down to mid-Kansas, built, a settlement, savages quickly tore to pieces. Then they decided, hey, we should build a church in case any other whites ever get here. They did. It was burned down several times. I show up, try to smash the bottle. Doesn't break any time. I'm going straight to heaven.
Fact, they did. Just that, to throw it in, like all of a sudden, it's a Will Ferrell, fucking character. They did. Okay. All right, well, Your Honor.
Case dismissed.
Exactly, case closed.
You're going to have to trust me on this one.
Let's just break for lunch, guys. We are good. Oh, fuck. Hey, this is Rick Ingram, by the way. I don't think you ever actually got other than... Dick Ingram, evil dictator, Satan. Welcome to Embrace the Hate. For those of you that have never seen the show before because it's on video for the first time, I'm pretty sure it's just going to be the two singles. So the two shot, you're looking off in the distance. That's beautiful.
That's going to be solid.
It's a show that may talk about movies, may talk about TV shows, may not. I don't know. It's a rambling conversation, as you've already seen. So welcome.
Yeah, well, I mean, we may discuss, cocaine distribution throughout the late 70s, early 80s.
I've watched a lot of TV shows and documentaries on that very subject.
If it's not on a TV show, it didn't happen. That's what I always say.
Well, my depth of knowledge of shit like that only comes from movies and TV shows.
What about when you were touring with Phish?
Yeah, but you're talking about narcotics.
Yeah, I'm saying you were likely a narcos of some sort. You're pushing the heavy stuff.
Muling fucking booze from show to show.
Booze, mescaline, peyote.
So far, I can't understand why cartels are in this business. Keep going. Weed, possibly.
maybe a little bit of herb, definitely Special K, donkey tranquilizers.
Well, once you've had the Special K, you kind of shop around a little bit and see what else is in that fucking nut.
Let's mix it up a little bit. Snake laxatives. The good shit.
Just the bad snake laxatives.
There's got to be such thing, right?
No, I just want to see some weird, like, vet show. It's a half an hour. Like, oh, the snake is impacted. Give me the laxatives.
Mr. Slithers is.
Oh, man. That's got to be one of the laziest names for a snake, Mr. Slithers.
I mean, people love a good pun name.
Oh, they do. We all name our pet with a punny type name.
We try.
Sure.
We've already made a Mr. Burns reference. Instead of Smithers, you go Mr. Slithers. It's pretty simple. This is the easiest job in the world.
Well, you tied it back in. Yeah. We'll give you that.
I go full circle. Sure. That's why they call me Dick Full Circle Ingram.
The human tornado.
Yeah. Captain Hurricane, Mr. Tornado, the Great Earthquake.
Oh, there's two extra honorifics in that right there. Our earthquake and hurricane had not been official canon up until this very moment.
I've been known as many natural disasters over the years.
Okay.
The tsunami of hate.
You don't want to just throw in a, I have. Just, trust
it's,
me.
It's a fact.
You know, just take my word on that.
What do you think the people watching like most about me?
In no way is it the creepy smile dead into the camera every time. It's genuine.
I keep it natural.
It's like seeing a dog come to life.
That is special.
It's creepy as shit. You're like suddenly like, oh, the glassy eyes there looking back at me.
Could you imagine a doll based exclusively on me?
You want to sell tens of dolls?
In this business. We can sell a dozen easy. Maybe a baker's dozen.
Baker's, good day.
Yeah.
Good day.
Yeah, the people would be interested.
Well, you got that, and then you got the snake laxatives. You know what I mean? You're just going from town to town.
I make a lot of money. Wares. I make a lot of money.
Oh, man. You missed your calling. You should have really, instead of 1400s maybe building that church, I'd say like 1800s traveling salesman. You got a wagon. You got your wares.
You snake backed up? Don't worry. I've got the perfect elixir for you, friend.
Right over here. What's that? Rheumatoid? No problem. Gout takes care of it.
Oh, man. I really could have been a great salesman.
As if those days are long gone. As if salesmen have fucking been retired to where it's like a Han Solo with Jedi. I've never met them.
They've got robots doing it now, you know? AI took all the salesman jobs.
Well, they took a lot of the targeting, our advertising, everything directly to the specific consumer that wants it. Yeah, they got good at that.
Just the other day, a robot came to my front door selling vacuum cleaners. You better believe I bought it. You don't want AI mad at you.
I don't think anybody questioned that for a second.
I made the mistake of assuming it was a sex robot, and so I immediately just started giving it the fucking business, if you know what I'm saying.
We can conjure, but you might as well go into more depth. You know, what specifically are we talking about?
I pillaged that robotic anus hard.
Why does a robot have an anus?
I was wondering the same thing.
Of course you were.
And that's exactly why I got in there while
this
I could.
Seems a little too easy, AI. Get your shit together.
Doing this to tempt me.
You know, that's what it was.
Quit whoring it up.
You're trying to make them better. You know what I mean?
You just got to make them feel more human. That's what they want.
And you know what? I provide that service. So just hit me up on Twitter.
And listen, all robots.
Well, it starts with the bots on Twitter. And then they you know, talk bots to their buddies. In no time, you will have all the robot anus that you can handle.
Might be a good name for a podcast.
Robot anus?
Robot anus. You're going to get a decent amount of at least AI interested in listening. Alan Iverson is what I'm talking about. Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what else do you need, really?
That's
killer
really
crossover, amazing. Boom, done. He can listen every week. Tailor shows specifically to him. You enjoying the atmosphere, the gray curtains?
It's nice. It's definitely nice in here. I think a lot of people who are tuning in, what do you think we got right now? 100,000 probably watching?
Easy.
It's not bad.
It is not bad.
And, you know, all over the world, obviously.
Yeah.
We lost a huge contingency of our fan base to the coronavirus. A lot of people didn't realize that.
Keep going. I'm going to double check like I did a previous time.
So we were the number one podcast in the Wuhan province for quite some time. And one thing leads to another. I believe this was an actual attack by a foreign government in an attempt to prevent us from getting the numbers we deserve on this show. I hope it's recording, but if it's not, doesn't really matter. The people are tuning in either way. Are we hot? Are we running hot?
We're good.
Man, that is good news.
So you filled them in on our lack of now the Chinese following that we once had.
We were huge in Wuhan. I let them know. Foreign government obviously was behind it. They were upset with the numbers we were pulling. And now they are literally taking citizens out in an attempt to ground the rise of this podcast. KGB, CIA, I'm not sure who it is.
You know, for our eventual offshoot band that describes the situation as it went down, Robot Anus, Huge in Wuhan is going to be a great chapter in this book.
I think Huge in Wuhan is going to be a special EP, I think. It's not necessarily an album.
No, because it captures a moment.
It's something that will only be released in foreign markets, and that way it'll make it more of a collector's item here at the States, the greatest nation in the world.
Boom. And that's how we increase sales, people by limiting the supply.
People are always, you know, checking out the CD stores around the country, buying their, you know, CDs, hoping they find something rare, something exotic.
When was the last time you actually went shopping for a CD?
Oh, man. It's probably been
early
12, 2000s? 13 years at least.
Yeah.
I mean, mid-2000s at the latest. I can't honestly think of the last time I bought.
Yeah, I just got burned. Or got it off, you know, online and
that's
burned it
illegal,
off my own.
Bro.
It is, bro. But I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations from 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I'm good. It's fine.
What CD were you illegally burning? Do you remember anything good?
I mean, like Radiohead's discography.
Ugh,
I got to them late, and or later than when
just
they
what
huge.
A pile of crap those guys are, right?
Oh, dude, big fan. You don't like Radiohead?
Not a huge fan of Radiohead.
Okay, I listen to those Pearl Jam songs.
Yeah.
The one, it just seems like meat and potatoes. It's fine. It doesn't really excite me, but whatever. The rest of the album could be a lot like that.
Uh-huh.
But the one that you took fault with, it reminds me more of like David Burney.
I don't even know who that is.
Burning Down the House.
Oh, okay.
Just the way like they're presenting it, whatnot, and
yeah.
But it's still it's
like that 80s,
yeah. Well, there's a
new
lot of
wave
that
kind
80s
of
nostalgia
bullshit.
Infecting the world, which is fine. But
my issue is they're a 90s band,
but they had influences. They grew up with that stuff,
I guess.
Yeah, they want to move on. I know what you're saying. It sounds strange because you've never heard them in the previous 20 years do anything like this.
Yeah,
which I guess you got to grow and shit. But it is interesting.
It seems like they're growing backwards.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you say not a fan?
Of that track? The other one, I'm like, it's a, you know, shrug?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I'm baffled by it. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing just to not enjoy a band you like, I guess.
Yeah.
I dislike so much music that the few bands I do like, I'm like, oh yeah, I can listen to them. But even that, I can't do it.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, it's weird.
There's very few that I can just put on the track one and just let it run. It's fine.
Yeah.
I listen to the whole thing and I don't mind if it starts back over and I hear a couple extra tracks. Like, I don't care.
You're really into Gnarls Barkley, I think.
Their latest, dude, is great. It's like their seventh album. Nobody knows about it. CeeLo, when he takes off from The Voice or whatever TV show he's doing, he gets back in the studio.
He actually got removed from that show because of the whole rape thing.
Oh, I have no idea what that even means.
CeeLo was dropping the Bill Cosby pills in the ladies' drinks.
Oh.
And I don't honestly remember what ended up happening, but he admitted to it or something and basically got like probation, but network TV was like, yeah, he can't really be a judge anymore. And so CeeLo's been, you know, just the, looking fantastic.
CeeLo's been on the down low.
CeeLo on the D low. And, you know, you're still a huge fan, though. You know, it doesn't take away from the music. That's what you always say.
Yep. That is what I, exactly, what I always say. I have been listening to, do you like the Strokes?
I've never really listened to them. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really feel anything either way.
I really like their first album because it was unlike everything else that was kind of coming out at that time. But they're short, like, not really pop. They're rock, you know, they're rock songs, but they're usually a shorter, like three and a half minute song.
Okay.
They get in, they get out. If you like their style, they vary it quite a bit. And that's pretty, but they've got a new album coming out and their first two tracks, like, I like both of those. I like one a lot. What about Queens of the Stone Age?
Never listened to them either.
Okay, they've got a few albums, I think, backwards and forwards.
It always, Queens of the Stone Age just reminds me of back in the day when Funston and Sheezer lived in that old building. I don't know if you ever were over there.
Oh, yeah, once.
The one was over by the body shop or whatever in West Hollywood.
Yeah, right behind that in the Standard.
Yeah.
Like, right in that area.
Yeah, so they lived over there, and I'd go over to hang out, and their neighbor, person who lived right next door to Mark, was always just blasting Queen of the Stone Age.
Queens of the Stone Age,
yeah. Yeah, so they were always just blasting it and fucking. And so, like, you'd walk up and you could literally just hear them. The walls were so thin and shitty. You could just clearly hear people fucking with that same song. I can't even remember what the popular song was. It was like a radio hit, but
yeah.
It was just blasting with people fucking. So that's the only thing that I think of is a couple I never even saw.
Yeah, but if that's the only association you really have, that's not the best introduction to the band as a whole.
A lot of people say they only know Queens of the Stone Age because of strangers fucking through a wall.
Violently fucking through a wall.
Yeah. I mean, like, any minute the drywall was coming down.
Robot Anus's second album.
Yeah, the drywall's coming down. Coming is obviously spelled.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. We have to, once again, as much as you established America loves puns,
yeah.
You put that in.
You got to do it.
Well, you got to. There are certain just binding contracts we all have as a society.
The Queens of the Stone Age obviously spent a lot of time fucking the Kings of Leon. If I know my music.
No, you know your three named bands.
Yeah. They're both royalty,
well, that's so Queens of the, yeah. So it's four, but.
I couldn't tell you a Queens of the Stone Age song. Who's their lead singer? Someone crazy, right?
I can't. I can visualize what he looks like, but I can't remember his name.
Could you describe it for the listeners?
Not a problem.
I just want great detail. Pretend we're doing a sketch
artist.
For an
audio show. There is video, but we're not going to cut in shit for that. So look it up amongst yourselves.
I think if you described it the way you would, if there was a sketch artist here, you know, drawing up.
You get it. You know what I'm saying. It's fine.
Oh,
like,
shit.
I think a strawberry blondish, maybe more red now.
Ugh.
Hair, pompadour-ish.
That's not cool at all.
But not really. Somewhere in between, at least the last picture I saw him, but that could have been in the past two. I don't go up and look at it. I just find their music on iTunes.
Let's get back to Radiohead.
Please.
They are.
As you've modified the thumb twiddle to this other variation. Yes, Mr. Burns. Radiohead?
Excellent. Always disliked them. My main issue was the fans. You know, it's a lot like the band Tool.
Okay.
I think we discussed the Tool effect before on our old version of this podcast.
Sure.
Where it's even if the band is cool, the fans are such tools that you can't like the band.
For a long time, that was like Bill Hicks, his fans.
Yeah. But listen, Bill Hicks, kind of moderately funny 15% of the time. People who truly love Bill Hicks, some of the worst human beings that ever lived.
Usually 100% unfunny.
Yeah, well,
100% of the time.
That's the key. It's not about getting the laughs, man. It's about having a great point.
You'd see one of those individuals have a really excellent set. And just like that crowd was really into that.
Very occasionally.
It can happen.
A lot of La Jolla comedians in the mid, early 2000s were really pushing Bill Hicks.
Before I started working down there.
Yeah, the Bragg.
Yeah, the Matt Bragg era. The guys that worked the dorm, that was a lot of the ethos of what they carried with them.
And part of it was just like, hey, we're not that funny either, so it's important we have role models who set the fucking standard for us.
Well, that somehow shocking is supposed to replace funny.
Yeah.
Like, you need the both. It's fine to be shocking. You just need to back it up with the funny.
The thing with Bill Hicks is he was made for the meme era. It's a shame that he was taken 25 years before his time.
You do have somewhat of his hair. So if you grew it just a little bit longer, just a little bit more fluff in the back here, maybe keep the top a tiny bit, like half as long as you get, you know, the back from here. And just live it up.
It's a very confusing haircut that you just
It's described. Not really. It's just a shade longer in the back.
Got
but
it.
It's long over.
A little more mullet-ish.
You have almost the right length on the top, maybe a tiny bit longer, and then just let this grow out like half inch.
One of the things I love is when I do the Comedy Store podcast and we talk to like someone who was around in the 80s or 90s, mm-hmm. and they'll bring up a story about how amazing Bill Hicks is, and then I'll go, yeah, I don't think he's funny. You know, I just never got it. And it's so great to watch them.
What, meltdown?
Yeah, just be like, well, it's because you don't get it, all right? You didn't understand brilliance. And, you know, there's no one left like that. And I'm like, yeah, because everyone else is being funny on stage. Like, that's not what it's about. Comedy is more than just comedy. And you're like, all right, sounds good.
It can be, but 100% of the time of this, yeah, I'm trying to change the world.
Yeah.
By telling a joke, it's like, it's a joke, man.
There's a comic who I think he opened for Stanhope occasionally, but he was a Kansas City-based comic. When I started doing open mics, he was around, and I see him posting all the time about modern comedians aren't brave. Where are the jokes about the CIA and stealing our rights? And like just on, going on these long rants, I'm like, who wants to talk about the CIA? Stealing our rights. What about the facade of the war on drugs as a means to, you're like, okay, imprison minorities. And like, yeah, that stuff's not really funny. That yeah. sucks.
It sucks.
But
if you can make that funny, you're amazing.
Yeah.
If you can do it, if you manage to tell a joke where
even
if the buildup takes forever, but if the punchline at the end and you walk away with something memorable and just like, well, you know, I understand you're trying to invoke thought within the audience, and you still hammer the home the point with a fucking overhand right.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. So long as it's worth the fucking payoff.
It's never worth it.
It can be, but in that style, it's just rage.
Yeah.
It's just rage and misplaced. Like, yeah. You can't fight all these things arena.
The other thing I saw him posting was like a 5-paragraph rant on Facebook that was about how audiences don't get it and how he has a great bit about the oppression of modern day police forces, and the crowd in Kansas City, believe it or not, they seem to be a little bit pro police officer, and they were booing him, and he just took that to great offense because he knows it's a great bit with great points, and these fucking sheep. I'm just like, dude, there's a reason why you've been doing comedy in Kansas City for 25 years.
Well, and if you can't read that room.
It's not that hard.
No. You're walking into it going, I could throw a dart and get right, you know,
yeah.
socioeconomic background, like what they're into, what the hot button issues may or may not be.
Yep.
So that's just, fuck you, man. You don't get it. And you're like, okay, man. That's really not a way to have a discourse. No. And you're like, okay, I'm good.
Besides, police, they're good people.
Now, but I distance the fan base from Tool and Radiohead. To me, they're independent of one another because...
Well, I'm not saying they have the same fan base. Okay. I was simply saying same. In both cases, their fans are super annoying about it to the point where I'm just like, all right, I'm checking out completely.
Okay.
Like I liked a couple Radiohead songs in the 90s, but at some point Radiohead just became an English dickhead with a bunch of ambient noise, and I'm not in on that.
Well, okay. Well, I would defend it and say... I got into it like way after they were big because I was following Fish around at that time, so I could give two shits about Radiohead.
Yeah.
I heard their biggest songs.
Yeah, they had Creep and Karma Police.
But Karma Police was the second. That was the album that really launched them into the stratosphere.
That was OK Computer.
Correct.
That's the only Radiohead album I ever had. It was probably like, what, 97 or something, 96?
No, it would have been my freshman, so 97, 98.
Okay.
Through there, specifically because you'd see their video occasionally on MTV whenever you'd scroll past.
Right.
And I had a couple friends that were into it, but just like, I don't know, man. I listen to just kind of this band right now.
You were exclusively Fish.
Exclusively. For like 5 years of my life, I pretty much listened to Fish. Occasionally Dead or Jerry Garcia Band or Mo or Widespread Panic.
Oh, the spread, bro.
But it was selectively just like when I'm burnt out and then eventually go back and get another boot or listen to another show.
There was a guy who plays drums for Widespread Panic now at the Comedy Store a couple of years back.
Okay.
And
is he a new drummer?
Yeah, he was fairly new with them. He's Derek Trucks' brother.
Okay.
You know, their uncle was in the Allman Brothers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he was having fun. I was fucking with him because you could tell he looked like a dirty hippie musician. And I was like, are you in a band? And he was like, yeah, you know, I play drums for a fairly well-known band now. So I was like, who is it? And he was like, I don't really want to say. And I go, come on, dude, who is it? And he was like, they're called Widespread Panic. And then I just spent 3 minutes going, the spread, bro. And you could just tell he didn't find it that amusing. Dude, I'm drumming for the spread.
Well, to distillate the essence of all of that down to one voice and yeah. That.
Dude, the spread is totally spreading, bro. He's like, all right, man.
Well, of course, that attitude definitely calms the fire. So in no way does it flame up again and randomly throughout, depending on where it is.
Yeah, poor dude. Just sitting there trying to have a good time.
He's got a good gig. You know what I mean? It's a touring band. They pay him to be part of the band. But, you know, they still make good money.
Yeah. I was trimming marijuana one day. This girl who was there trimming was like, hey, my friend saw you perform, and I go, oh, is that right? And she's like, yeah, he's the drummer for Widespread Panic. And I was like, the spread! And she's like, yeah, he mentioned that's what you said. I was like, yeah, that sounds right.
A small world, then. Look at that.
It was a nice full circle.
To find out.
Was he super annoyed?
he took that home with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He slept with that night.
How was the comedy club? It was all right until this one asshole.
You know, anytime he drives past there, he is going to think of you specifically. The spread, bro.
There's a specific dude I'm thinking of when I was at KU. Dude loved Widespread Panic.
Okay.
And no matter what you do, he's like one of the guys I'd buy weed from. And
not surprised.
Yeah. And he would he'd go, hey, man, you ever heard? And I'd be like, I haven't heard any Widespread Panic because I don't listen to Widespread Panic. You got to check out this song, man. This is a live version. I'm like, okay, just is this going to get me the weed in a easier fashion? Because, dude, oh, man, this is so sick, dude. This is from their Upstate New York show. I'm like, oh, God, that does sound good. I love me some Albany spread, bro.
I mean, I was that way about fish, but I wouldn't try and peddle my wares.
Yeah.
Like I'm a fucking, you know, a missionary priest trying to convert the savages. Have you seen the good book? Have you seen it?
You know about spread, right? About,
these four magnificent bastards from Vermont went around the country. Yeah, Widespread. I saw them once. I went with a girl, and it was her like 94th show or something ridiculous.
So she's a spreadhead.
Yeah, full on.
Yeah.
Knew the band, and she got to go backstage and took like one or two of the other people we were with. We were in high school, so it's just like we got to go along. It was fun.
Yeah.
And I saw when she walked out, and she was like, of the night, that was a top five show. You saw a type. They played songs that they haven't played for years. And because I don't know anything about the band, I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. And I listened to a couple things here and there, but I never got into it. But yeah, there's 100%. That's how they built the fan bases, guys.
Well,
they're
here today. Get them in the studio. Oh no, they're not.
You might like. Yeah,
it's hard.
You may like Mo. Their studio. I could send you the link for that.
Mo. Are they?
It's
also
like a pop punky.
That sounds terrible.
But still jammy a little bit. It's been years since I listened to it, but I liked one of their albums a lot.
They're on like Spotify and all that shit, right?
Yeah.
I can just look up Mo.
Yeah. But I can send you a text.
What's the number one? What's the number one hit they got?
I don't think they have a single hit.
Is Mo short for something?
No, it's Mo period, all lowercase.
Oh, yeah. All right. That sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah.
Lowercase with a period. I've always been a big fan of bands with punctuation.
Well,
that's my thing.
And if they're going to go that far to honor the punctuation, then to screw up, what is it, the syntax or the lack of capitalization on the M.
That's their own way of disrespecting themselves. And it's that self-deprecating music that hooks you.
Wow. You have a different recollection of a band that I've listened to that album quite a few times. The One, but still.
I'm a huge Mo fan as of today. I don't want to hear their music because that'll ruin it for me, but I like what they're doing.
I think you should, you know, considering it just gives you more music to hate.
That's true. If nothing else. I do love hating good music.
It's nice to find new things that you just despise.
Ugh, so much. There's just so much out there.
Hey, there's too much out there.
In terms of modern music, is there any sort of modern music that you actually listen to and like?
The last album I got hooked on, I think, was Royal Bloods or Royal Blood.
It's a band name?
Yeah, it's a two-piece. And what the guy does, so it's a lead singer slash guitarist, and he runs his output through a bass amp and a guitar amp, whatever, so it gives the effect of two instruments. And he plays along to mimic bass lines within it every once again, like drops it. And the drummer is fantastic.
Neil Peart?
No, he's tighter than that. Like, it's a much smaller kit, so it's all about precision and keeping up with these intricate, like, staccato beats, like, you know, just
I want at least a 40-kit drum set.
Well, good. Go listen to, you know, him and, well, I was about to say Buddy Rich, but Buddy Rich had a small
kit. I don't know who any of them are. I was lying. I'm not into drum kits at all.
No one can tell. Nobody. Considering you've only listened to one band you remotely like. Yeah, Royal Blood is so their debut album. That's what it looks like.
Are they British?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know if the drummer is, but I think the lead singer is, yes.
Alternative, huh? This is 2014. This isn't even new.
Well, they put out another album, I think, a year and a half, 2 years later. Oh, okay. But I didn't find them until they had been around for a bit and got bigger over there and then came over here, and then I saw some random clip on YouTube.
No respect for bands that get big in Britain first.
So Hendrix is out, is what you're saying.
Never cared for him.
That's bold.
First of all, turn your guitar around and play it right. You know what I mean?
Well, you want to go back to the old system where they beat left-handed use out of kids. So he never even got to the, you know, use that devil hand.
What a better world it was. And people who are left-handed, if we have any left-handed listeners, turn it off. Am I right? We don't want them listening.
Three of my immediate family members are left-handed.
Is that true?
That is true. I don't even know what the statistics of that would be.
What, immediate family members? That means like brothers and sisters and parents?
Mom, brother, sister.
Wow. So you're the good son then?
I told my dad that. It's like, look at that. Her devil gene infected those two.
That is corrupted. Truly despicable. Is your family listening to this podcast?
I have no idea.
Do they even know that it exists?
Not many people do, because we've had a couple snafus and issues of getting them up on platforms. Yeah. So this will probably be the time when most people find out about it.
Yeah. And so it's important we alienate the left-handers now.
It has been band talk. This next week we can maybe not talk about a single band. So welcome to the show. Anyway, let me tell you why I hate this fan base. Fuck you. Although I do have that with some bands. Like, I don't for the life of me understand why anybody listens to Offspring. I don't get it. It makes no sense. And the fact that they've had a wildly successful career since 1996 is beyond me. Or 95.
Are they still a band?
Yes.
They still tour?
On my other show, I've made fun of them a couple of times, and I had fans reach out and be like, hey, love the band right here. You're like, I don't get it, man. That band.
Just a sucker with no self-esteem.
That was one of their best songs.
I didn't know they had another song.
Pretty Fly for a White Guy, wouldn't that?
Oh, that song is fun, right?
Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
God, I love that jam.
You could do that on every one of their songs, though.
Yeah.
That always feels like it's in the background, some gypsy fucking guitar.
I agree. They're good, man. Yeah, is that what we're talking about?
You went contrarian. It's the one time you don't hate. That's fine. You can have that shit.
I remember I was probably seventh grade when their first album or their pop, the first album with a hit on it came out.
I think it was like sophomore 94, in high school,
95, something like that. And
the X-rayed skeleton looking thing.
Yeah. That it had Self-Esteem was like their big song. And this guy, Billy Fennell, we called him Burpee because, you know, we had clever nicknames. He came over to my house and was like, I want to listen to this. He was a mumbler. He's like, I want to listen to this song. And he couldn't listen at his house because it had the parental advisory bullshit on the CD. So you brought that shit over to the Ingram household.
Of course, where there are no rules.
My satanic family allowed you to listen to the offspring. Oh,
you had just gotten back from the weekend from throwing more glass bottles at church walls.
Just trying to get in. As if it was a family activity.
Of course.
Want to step up. Let's see if you're going to hell.
What a terrible thing. Just a little like four-year-old.
What are you, weak? You're going to hell now.
Oh, that sucks for you. We don't have to spend as much money on you then.
But I remember Billy Fennell playing it at my parents' basement and just being like, this isn't that good. He was like, well, I like it. I'm like, all right.
Well. Oh, dude, my friend Robbie, he was the first to get a license and have a car. So he had a Camaro and he mostly listened to.
Damn, pretty dope.
But it was tricked out. He got it. He put T-tops on it.
Hell yeah.
And then had a huge subwoofer in the back. This thing has no trunk. Yeah. He's got a subwoofer. So when you're inside, all you can hear is.
Yeah, the vibration.
So he.
That's how you should listen to this podcast, by the way.
Dude, I remember people spent
cranked
so much
up
on receivers. Yeah. And this thing boosts the fucking signal by the time he gets there and this and blah, blah, blah. So he listened to all this Southern rap, except for Offspring was the one. And he would turn it up to where I was deaf after getting out and be like, I fucking hate the Offspring so much. This band is terrible. Just terrible. That was my introduction to.
I never met anyone other than Burpee Fennell who really liked The Offspring. And I don't even remember him liking it beyond wanting to listen to the CD at my parents' house. But when I moved out here, I met a bunch of people I worked in restaurants with down in the South Bay that loved The Offspring. And they were like, oh, they're an LA band. I'm like, are they? I think the lead singer went to USC some bullshit.
No, they are. And I want to say he got a degree in engineering or
something
like a legit,
yeah,
you know. And now when you look at the songs, like, yeah, they all do seem kind of formulaic and he just figured out a hook type of thing and just keeps peddling his fucking wares over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It is terrible.
Never a big Offspring guy.
There's a lot of bands.
311, that's another band, has terrible fans.
Well, you've attacked them in the past.
Yeah, I'm good at attacking them. They get so upset over nothing that you just have to keep poking the bear.
The nice thing, though, is when you know with a band, you 100% know. There is no, like, there are bands where it's just flat out, I don't give a shit what you say. That is not music to me.
Yeah.
That is noise, and I don't understand why you like it, so I'm sorry. You're trying to fucking convert me to your
shit. Who's a good example of a noise band to you?
A noise band?
Yeah, a band that you hear it, and you're just like, this is absolute crap.
Well, I just said Offspring.
All right. There's got to be someone else you hate. There's no way Offspring is the only band.
Yeah, but I just came up with that and had a nice long rant and this fucking got parts and I know the history about the damn band. What do you got?
I mean, you can just name any band and that's pretty much.
That's what we're asking you to do, we as an audience, upon this hearing this answer.
Fuck. There's so many terrible bands out there. I can't even think of their names.
I'm not going to give you one.
The Lumineers.
Okay, fine.
That's a crap band. The Mumford Sons.
Mumford and Sons.
They're terrible.
Monsters of Folk, if you want to go back that far.
Monsters of Folk, that's a band.
That was right when Mumford got big, then there was this other band called Monsters of Folk.
Is that different than Of Monsters and Men, or whatever that one was?
Is that the name of a band?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm not positive. What happened was I listened to Wilco on like Spotify or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's a band I never got into.
And I put it on the Wilco station. So they play
things like it that the people that listen to,
And each time they played, I was just like, this is awful.
Well, if you don't like the fucking flagship, you know, you're not going to like the retreads.
Yeah, I mean, there's some Wilco songs I liked. There was two albums in the 90s that I liked. And
when did you hear them? I didn't even hear of them until, like, I don't know, 10 years ago?
I've been listening to Wilco a long time. My uncle got me into Uncle Tupelo when I was in, like, the seventh grade.
I didn't realize we were fucking speaking with the height of hipsterism when it comes to Wilco. I apologize.
Dude, I was into Wilco and out of Wilco by the time people were getting into Wilco.
You act like you gave a fucking hand job to the mandolin player in the band.
Dude,
I'm assuming they have a mandolin player.
I gave Tweety a foot job.
Even better. The dexterity? Is it big toe, and the second toe? Is that what you're doing?
I go.
Would you cup with the base of the feet?
No, no. I go in between the middle toe and the second to littlest toe. And I just really work. He has a very thin penis.
But you still have that other toe in between. So is that just kind of scratching it up and down the side?
Look, I don't have to explain to you how a good foot job works.
Because right now that doesn't sound so pleasurable unless you're into that type of pain.
No one, listen, when you're doing foot jobs the way I do, pleasure is not what you're looking for. All right? It's about being humiliated by my feet. Yeah, I mean, I actually liked the other offshoot of Uncle Tupelo more than Wilco. Uncle Tupelo split into Sunvolt and Wilco, and
Sunvolt ceases to be.
Sunvolt's still a band.
Okay,
they're. I think the last live concert I went to. No, that's not true. I took my wife to see Van Halen a couple of years ago. That was the last live concert I went to. But the last live concert I wanted to go to was Sunvolt. I saw them at whatever that concert venue is on Wilshire.
The Wiltern?
Not the Wiltern.
Oh, it's right in that area. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I saw them there, and it was a good show. But yeah.
I don't listen to much new music anymore unless I happen to hear, and then, hey, I do have Shazam on my phone for every once in a while. If I hear just one track, hey, what is that?
Right. I listened to Return of the Mac by...
I heard that not long ago.
It's still a great song.
It's catchy. It's still got a good...
It brings me back to, you know, high school mixers, just really working game on the bitches.
Well, you're the Mac in that equation.
Obviously, I'm the Mac.
So I'm here to throw my Mac.
And I do, and I do. Every time I hear that, it just takes me back to making sweet love
Don't
to all the ladies.
Don't lie to me. it's been a long time since I've been in those situations where you're kind of forced to go to a dance or whatever else.
You're
there for 90 minutes, 2 hours hearing whatever music.
Yeah. And when that song came on, that's when you knew the jam was about to happen and you could have any lady you want in the room, period.
Well, those days are long gone.
Well,
maybe not in Kansas, you know, in fucking Satan's church country, it might be just fine.
That song can do it for anyone. That's what I'm trying to tell the viewers out there.
And if take nothing else, and this is on your first tape of motivational speeches you'll be putting out, songs to get you in the right mood. It's going to be one of the chapters in the 10 chapters you do on that tape. And that's part of a series.
Yeah, and it's only available on cassette. It's a,
of course.
It's a 10 cassette.
Well, you want something that's going to last the apocalypse. You know, CD's too fragile. Digital information, EMP is going to wipe that out.
Easy.
Vinyl records is you know, kitschy and fun as they are, they're going to be destroyed.
Terrible.
So, tapes.
Dude,
it's smart.
We're in such a shitty world now that there's more vinyl being sold than CDs. I saw the stats on it. Last year was the first year.
Yeah.
More vinyl
sold. I knew
it had
been gaining and gaining and gaining because nobody buys CDs anymore.
Yeah.
So vinyl is this kitschy fun. You look at the liner, the album, you know, liner and...
What I don't get is people are always like, well, the vinyl sounds better because, you know, it's more of a pure sound.
Well, technically, it's analog versus digital. So digital is just a representation of what the music is, technically. Analog is they made an imprint.
That sounds philosophical, bro. It's a representation of what the music is.
Yeah, but one is by analog, by physical means, and the other is, I don't know, it's been changed, it's been digitized.
So yeah.
Technically, you're capturing more of the essence of what it was on the vinyl. What that is, it's ephemeral.
Dude, it sounds like a bunch of bullshit to me.
It is. It's all bullshit. It's just how you want the music. I choose ease. Just give it to me digitally. It's much fucking easier.
Dude, I like to hear my music and make sure it sounds worse. That's the way it was meant to be heard, bro. Put it on a record. Let's do this. Vinyl it up. I want a 45 of...
So... We got spread fan character. What would you call this character?
Dude, this is Vinyl Dave. Legend.
It's the legend. It's the extra cell that in no way sounds desperate. You know, like a legend would have to do. You have to announce, oh, Michael Jordan, legend. Oh, my bad. I fucking Future Generations almost forgot.
Old Vinyl Mike, legend.
Was it Vinyl Mike or was it Vinyl Dave?
It was Vinyl Dave.
I think Vinyl Dave's better.
I came up with some other characters.
Oh, his buddy Vinyl Mike?
In the Vinyl series.
Well, if you need somebody to like stand in for shots and whatnot.
Hey, it's me, Vinyl Gareth.
Beautiful.
Yeah. There needs to be more Gareths out there, I think.
I think I know one. I believe I know one.
I don't even know how to describe him other than he looked like he was in the Charles Manson family at the Comedy Store this last weekend, sitting in the front row, big ass beard, just looking super crazy.
So always good to guess a lineage.
Yeah.
And nail it down to.
I go, hey, where are you from, man? He goes, the desert. I go, goddamn right you are. What's your middle name, Wayne or Lee? He goes, Lee. Wait, is your middle name really Lee? Yeah, why? I go, no reason.
Yeah, just a stereotype that I made up in my head came true right before my very eyes. So let's all make a wish because I'm going to die tonight.
Yeah.
Now, desert people, every time I drive through, like driving to Vegas or going somewhere, doing some shit casino gig out in Hemet or whatnot.
Beautiful country.
You know, just driving through. What compels somebody to move to an area that has no industry, especially through the desert? It's like you work at the gas station. You work at the one restaurant. There's not shit else around
the
here.
Weed warehouse now.
Now,
there's some weed warehouse.
Fireworks,
workers.
Depending on which state you're on.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. But it's a weird fucking, you move there, like you're running from something and you ended up in the desert, just like Alaska.
Yeah.
But at least Alaska, like it's pretty and I can understand more of that charm than the fucking desert.
Yeah, well, that's because you don't understand the stars, bro. In the desert, you can see them clearly.
Is this what Lee told you?
This is what
this old Lee wisdom right here.
Eric Lee Galloway was his name.
It fits. Okay.
He was the man for sure. And then I accused him of being a staunch racist and he did not deny. He was just like, I'm like, nope, no answer. Okay, cool. And then I just kept referencing him. What's your least favorite race? Top three. You know what? Don't answer that.
Good for you, Your Honor. Bad idea.
Leading the racist.
Yeah, leading the racist. Oh, there you go. Right in the new handbook.
Yeah.
There's going to be different rules in the not too distant future.
I'm just excited that there's still desert folk out there. Because without them, who do we have left to mock?
It's the world's getting smaller and smaller. And desert people, it's an easy pickings.
Do you see that this fucking whack job, he's one of these flat earthers, built his rocket and
then
crashed
died.
Into the classic?
Of course.
I mean, he seemed like scientifically he was on point. And the video of it where the people go, oh, no, that was his parachute. And then you just see the body.
He looked at it and said, I don't believe you when you guys compare the hardest things in the world to brain surgery and rocket science.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do one of this. And then maybe on my second flight, I cut somebody's head open because bullshit, I can do this.
Easy.
To prove that the earth was flat.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's the type of science and thinking that is really bolstering the flat earther side. Some people I've seen, someone we know, it's like, he died, but he got to see the truth. You're like, okay.
That's brilliant. Okay.
I really hope you mean that the earth is round. I'm pretty certain you mean that the earth is flat.
He flew up approximately 106 feet, looked around, was like, flat, and then was like, uh-oh.
Flat, self-destruct. We're good to go, folks. Confirms all my suspicions.
I don't need to see anything else in this life. And then just turned it. He was in control the whole time.
Well, then it sucks because for rocketry, that's pretty, that's next level. He's got that much control over a rocket.
Yeah. Have you ever even seen The Rocketeer? It's that easy. It's just about the helmet, bro.
Dude, there's a movie that does not hold up in the slightest. What? When was the last time you saw it?
I saw about 20 minutes of it 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah. It's on HBO or Showtime.
Oh, right
or one
now.
Of those
so
things.
It's in the loop.
It's on regularly. And Corinne was like, what's The Rocketeer? And I go, oh, it's awful. It was always awful.
When I was a kid, I liked him on the jetpack.
Yeah.
Those scenes were cool as shit. So I watched it for that every time it would pop up. But
I remember thinking, this is the kind of jetpack I need. I should be able to fly around like The Rocketeer. I ain't wearing one of those helmets, though. I'll just control it with my mind. But not a quality movie at all.
No.
It's like, I think it's a Disney movie, so that's part of the issue of why it's terrible.
And it's a cookie-cutter villain when Jennifer Connelly is misused as the, I don't know, it's a weird storyline. They're supposed to be young lovers type of thing, but I don't know, you don't really buy it.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah, and the over-the-top, like, it's secret Nazis here, and which could have worked, but they were fighting on a fucking Zeppelin. Like, he flew up there. It's like, there's interesting aspects to it, but the overall execution is like, it's a dud, which is amazing. You have a dude flying, and I'm kind of bored.
Well, it's not just a dude. It's a rocketeer.
I wasn't questioning the man's skills, ability, job title. I wasn't besmirching him.
It seemed like
your honor.
I will not have my client. Yeah.
That is libel or slander, whichever is not written.
Thrown in the mud.
Perfect. He fits the crime. You know, throw him in the mud. That seems about right. You don't need to go to jail for something like this. Public shaming, good to go.
Yeah.
Let's take it back to, you know, colonial punishment.
I think the first thing we do is we spay his hogs.
See, traveling salesman, you missed your calling.
God, if only there was a sales job still.
Well, you come in and just like, spay a hog? Well, I've got the perfect cure for that. There you are with your fucking hog neuterer test tonic. Perfect. Great label right on the front. I see it like a seltzery kind of off-white waterish type of stuff.
I saw a celery-flavored soda the other day, and I'm still baffled by who is out there going, you know what? We need to figure out a way to bottle this celery taste.
Well, the only other is...
It's like a Dr. Brown's or whatever that...
I was about to say, somebody that's cornered the market on a certain... So they roll out. They've got like 8 flavors and they rotate 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah. We've got cream soda. We've got root beer. Yeah. We've got black cherry. And of course, celery.
Celery. For those children of peasants. Enjoy your celery soda.
Finally, we can drink that celery. Yeah. It just seemed like a weird thing. I'm very confused.
Enjoy it with your Oreo cookies.
I asked the guy who's at a deli in the valley, and I go, do you sell a lot of the celery soda? And he was like, as far as I know, there's like 2 dudes who buy it. I go, really? 2 guys? And he was like, yeah, it's like they're older. They're like in their 60s, but they say it reminds them of something. I'm like, it's pretty fucking weird.
That is weird.
Like, I got to head over to
get my celery soda.
Uncle Bernie's getting my pastrami on rye and a nice bubbly celery soda.
Well, because soda inherently has some sweet to it.
Yeah.
So with a nothing flavor of celery, I'd assume it's closer to a saltier, like a...
Yeah, I mean...
As opposed to sweet.
There's really just no taste to celery.
Zero.
So it's like...
It's like a grassy water taste to it. That's what it tastes like.
Yeah.
You're just eating nothing. So how do you sodify that?
Yeah, I think you just nailed it. Sparkling grassy water, which is the competitor we're going to launch. Ah,
it sounds like the Native American version from 100, the same rough time racist. Period as your guy.
That's racist.
The knockoff of even the savages out west, this is their cure.
Nothing a good bubbly grass water could fix.
Bison incontinent. Celery soda. That does the trick every time.
Give it to your snake. He'll have diarrhea by morning.
But for really impacted snake bowels, try snake laxatives. Fuck. What were they? Slytherines?
Mr. Slithers? Slithers
was the name. Never mind.
Slytherines is a pretty great band, though.
It sounds like the byproduct of the laxatives. Oh, he's got the slither.
Last night I had...
Oh, Kentucky Mudsnake right there.
I had the slitherines pretty bad for a couple hours.
A couple hours. Oh, dude. I can't even imagine what holy hell is just flushing out of your body. Because I'm seeing like slight propulsion as well. You know, you are slithering around.
Let's just say I flushed 9 times over an hour. Did not get off the seat.
Oh, I had one of those days like a week ago. Where I went to the bathroom just out of nowhere 4 times in the morning. My body was not happy about something.
Serious slitherines.
Serious. Just one of those of, Everything is just flushed out. You know, afterwards you get through the day and you're like, oh, I feel like, you know, 8 pounds lighter. This is,
yeah,
this is not bad, but I don't know what the fuck I ate for dinner last night.
And it's possible for anyone as long as you have Dr. Brown's celery soda. Get it while you can.
Get it while you can. Oh, these things are selling like hotcakes, I tell you.
Only at Uncle Bernie's Delicatessen.
Oh, so now you have a brick and mortar?
I think that's the name of the place I was at. It's like an actual place in the valley. It's in Encino.
Well, my father-in-law's name's Bernie, so maybe I'll take Bernie to Bernie's at some point.
That seems like it's going to set you up on the right path to scorn with his daughter.
Ka-ching, my friend. Ka-ching. Where's it at?
It's like white near White Oak, in between White Oak and Balboa on Ventura Boulevard.
Okay.
Something like that. It's around there.
All right. On Ventura, though? All right.
So it's on Ventura. It's on the north side of Ventura.
So you're Sherman Oaks at that point.
I think it's Encino. Because you're on.
Oh, you already.
Because you're on White Oak and
it's true.
Balboa are on the
other side,
west side of the 405. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it. I got the celery soda. If anyone is trying to figure out where they can score delicious, flavorless vegetable soda.
Did you ever have bacon soda? I never tried. I just heard of it. I saw it a couple of times, but I never was compelled to.
Bacon soda. No, I didn't know that was a thing. I thought you were honestly saying baking soda and you're just like
being
had
an
a
asshole?
Southern drawl or something.
Bacon soda?
You got to pour some bacon soda in there.
just a little bit. Just a smidge.
You want it to rise, don't you? Put some bacon soda in it. It was bacon-flavored soda.
Bacon-flavored soda, yeah.
That sounds good.
I just don't know what that – maybe it's that – you ever had the overly maple-cured whatever, so it's a sweeter bacon, which
okay.
I'm not a fan of. I like the
just
smoked
kinda
bacon
salty,
or,
yeah.
You know, I don't even get the cured stuff. Just
yeah,
the
there's no reason.
And, yeah, it's none.
Just normal bacon is flavored fine.
Exactly. Yeah. It tastes like bacon, which is absolutely – you know, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So maybe it's got that slight sweetness to it with the bacon undertone. Like I have no fucking clue, but
who made bacon soda?
So I just remember I think the guy's face was on the front of it and just,
the Guy Fieri's face.
Well, think the leader, if memory serves, the leader from Heaven's Gate, maybe this guy was in his family somewhere, like a cousin twice removed.
He's got those beautiful eyes
and the short, you know, whitish.
Yeah.
Type of blonde hair, if memory serves. It's been a long time.
He's like Mike Pence's great uncle.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Along those lines.
Yeah.
And just smiling with, and he has a bunch of different flavors, I believe.
Yeah.
Been a long time. But yeah, bacon, I've seen a bunch of different flavors. You see it online. You can get this stupid thing.
Yeah.
Whatever else. Or if you find some listicle, if you really wanted to. And it's like the weird soda flavors from around the world.
There's probably a BuzzFeed article on the 17 craziest soda flavors.
One every year for the past 12 years.
Yeah.
Some years, maybe even twice.
Did you, Mike Pence reminded me, did you catch Donnie T's press conference today?
I saw him come over and come in and take over. That's all I saw.
It was so good.
In the opening minute and a half.
So good. Discussing coronavirus. Literally looked like a fifth grader who had to give a book report on a book he never read. And one of his buddies tried to explain it to him a little bit right before he went up there, but he also didn't read it. He just kind of knows a little bit what it's about. And then he just went for it. I was like, no, I can do this book report. No problem. I got it. He's just rambling. It's so amazing.
Guys.
And we got the best people. A lot of people are saying we have the best people on this.
That's it.
And I'm putting Mike Pence in charge. And if you know Mike, you know that when he was the governor of Indiana, one of the best healthcare systems in the world, one of the best in the world. And Mike was behind that. And so we're putting him in charge. And I'm like, I don't remember ever hearing about Indiana's amazing healthcare. Thanks. So I just immediately look it up.
Yeah.
It's like 43rd. Out
and
of all the states.
Yeah.
And when Mike Pence was in office, there was like two issues where they were it was hepatitis. There was something spreading because he refused to.
When he took over, he called it like Mars or something. I was expecting it. Maybe in my mind, I'm conflating it with SARS. I was expecting that the way he was leading up to a buildup. Like in Indiana, we had the first reported case. It was like in 2009 of this. And I was like, I don't remember that.
Yeah, the MERS.
Yeah, whatever it was. I was like, I don't recall that one. There have been others.
Yeah.
And some have been numbers some years.
Yep.
And just like, oh, yeah, if you gave me the digits, I would
H1N1.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. Then I'm just looking at it like, oh, I sometimes I forget that he doesn't even pretend to have any facts. He's literally just rambling.
Cut and paste, exactly. And the next day, he met with the Joint Chiefs. And, you know, we have the best military in the world.
Yeah.
I talked to him. Trust me, these are very smart men.
Yeah.
These are very smart men. And they looked at me and they're like, he's the best. And it's the same thing. Cut to, there's a healthcare, you know, problem, not healthcare. That's one, whatever, housing, homeless problem.
Yeah.
Oh, LA, it's terrible, but we keep it nice here.
So good.
It's cut and paste, cut and paste, cut and paste.
I loved the Rush Limbaugh went with the, you know, this disease, this coronavirus, it's the common cold. That's all it is. They're just scaring you. They're trying to make President Trump look bad, but really this is just the common cold. I'm like, genius.
Okay, let's go look at the, you know, the fucking mortality rate of the common cold, percentage-wise. That's the only reason anybody's freaking out. You just go by the percentages.
Don't worry about it.
This one doesn't appear to be Spanish flu. Thank God. But this one
Don't
is still
about
something
it.
To common at least cold. Respect.
I upset some Republican trolls on Twitter by commenting on Rush Limbaugh's statement and saying we ought to listen to Rush on this one because he was diagnosed with lung cancer, or as I call it, a severe chest cold. And some trumpets found it. They were upset. Oh, yeah. How dare you insult a man who's going through something? I'm like, yeah, I know. We shouldn't do that in
exactly.
society.
In no way are we belittling anybody else that might be going through a life and death situation.
Like you mean a life and death situation
like the
having
common
a
cold?
Common cold. Exactly. Yeah. Brutal. Yeah.
What's sad is after all these, you know, lead up to the Democrat, all the debates and whatnot, and then the polling afterwards to come to find out that by and large, the largest percentage of this country feels that Trump is just going to win re-election. It doesn't really matter who they're going to put up. And that's so sad.
I don't see how he loses. It's hard for me to picture it. Just knowing like, there's still just tons of people who are just 100% on board. You could give them a million reasons, but they're still like, yeah, but he is going to make America great again. It says so on the hats.
Well, I think it's more so the people that straddle the fence or Republican mostly until every once and again.
Yeah.
They, you know, maybe try and convince themselves they're more independent, but they ultimately vote for a Republican. If he sways them, then it's done.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes. And if it's just general apathy from everybody, they're like, it's not the worst. I've lived through worse. It's fine.
I listened to Bloomberg's town hall today.
Okay.
Dude is amazing. He's literally just not as dumb Trump. That's what his campaign slogan should be. Not as dumb Trump. When, Mayor Bloomberg.
Yeah, when he attacked Don a couple weeks ago and basically said, Don, trust me, we run in the same circles in New York. Everybody laughs behind your back. You're a joke. Like bubble, that's where it hurts.
Yeah,
that's where you attack him. And I saw that. And you know, Bloomberg is a flawed candidate. But if you want to attack Trump and get him off his axis, it's that shit. Where trust me, do I need to name names? How about this party? When you left in disgust, and we all laughed at you, and on like a presidential debate, that's how you could break him right there. And he'll freak out and say a bunch of terrible, bigoted shit. And just like, okay, it's impossible to deny this guy's a hothead and he's an idiot.
Yeah, I saw, and Bloomberg's other thing was he put up a bunch of banners or whatever that just said, Donald Trump cheats at golf. It's like, it's so petty and dumb, but you know,
but
Don's just so mad.
Exactly, that is the best attack.
How dare Bloomberg even say that?
He knows I'm the best. He knows I'm the best. I'm better than him. I'm sure they played countless rounds together.
I've seen the photos that...
Yeah.
The Bernie supporters were all sharing of it was Bill Clinton, Donald Trump,
Giuliani.
Mike Bloomberg and Rudy Giuliani playing golf together.
It makes all the sense in the world. Yeah. Why wouldn't these guys be playing golf together?
Yeah.
When you get to those, doesn't matter what business you're in, you're all kind of in the same circles. You want to know each other, and you're all super powerful. So why wouldn't I go golfing with, you know, all these individuals?
He said I cheated. How dare he say that?
Exactly. He uses a cheap spray tan. I don't even tan.
That's Photoshop.
It is. I don't know what you're talking about. That's how you. It's childish. Fight fire with fire. I don't like Bloomberg as a candidate because you're replacing one oligarch. You know, well, a fake oligarch with a real oligarch.
Whoa. Hold on. Hold on. Donnie has a lot of issues, but one thing is for sure, he's real deal with that money.
You know, he's got more of is great business ideas, and you should talk to him about steaks and universities and a whole host of other
airlines,
wildly successful business ventures.
The Donald Trump steak, it only is cooked well done. Ketchup not provided. When I found out he eats well done steaks with ketchup, I was like,
he prefers fast food.
It's like, this guy gets it.
It's a great. Let's suck every last ounce of flavor out of whatever I'm trying to eat. Like, can you imagine well-done chicken? It's just this dry. It's
so good.
Christmas vacation turkey.
First of all, I only eat white meat. Cooked until it can cook no more. I almost like it like a burnt jerky. That's what I'm looking for.
But he could be a two-term president.
He's going to be.
There's a very good chance. That blows my mind. The idea that Donald Trump could end up being a two-term president. Oh, my God.
I'm looking forward to Don 2. Junior taking over when Don 1's done.
Well, people are chanting 46.
He's so good. Dude is so good.
The best.
Good looking.
Oh, dude, when you say so good, it's an umbrella that encompasses all of Donnie J. And by that, I mean there is no umbrella big enough to catch it all. Yeah. So metaphorically speaking, we're doing the best we can here. Please bear with us.
It's basically the Pacific Ocean. That's the only thing that could catch all of his
glory. I would say it was like the stratosphere itself. Like, that's the only thing that could really contain all of this.
On a flat Earth, though?
Doesn't matter. We still need an atmosphere.
See, that's part of the thing. I don't think there is an atmosphere.
So, too bad the rocket scientists said adios, because then we could talk to them. Oh, wind resistance. Is that real? Like, talk to me. Gravity, do you really feel it?
Did I just hear a train?
Yeah, there's tracks.
Just on the other side of the freeway.
Uh-huh.
That's through. Exciting. Gives it a nice country vibe around here.
Sure. I mean, if you want to play Theater of the Mind, yeah.
Theater of the Mind, great EP.
That band sounds so pretentious. So pretentious. We're going to bring a plate of life in your mind.
We are Theater of the Mind. Thank you for coming to our show.
Very German. I like that. That seems to work for me. Hello, it's good to see you here.
All wearing metallic silver unitards. Mm-hmm. We are here to put our penis in your mind.
Eyebrows shaved off.
Gotta. You can't have eyebrows and be in Theater of the Mind.
No. Unfortunately, like, they used to open for Robot Anus. They got a little weird on the road. We parted ways. We're not the best of friends with them anymore.
Things got a little out of control.
On an all-new special episode. Wuhan.
If you tune in to our Patreon, you can catch some documentary footage from that tour.
It's great. We had the first HD cameras. Everybody else was working with, you know, it's all grainy, not us.
No.
It's 4K. It's gorgeous.
Everything we produce is on Laserdisc.
Did you ever own a Laserdisc player?
Nope.
I only knew one person that had one. They had like five movies.
Yeah. I remember my middle school invested in a bunch of Laserdisc players, like seventh grade, I just remember they were like, you know, this is this new format and
everything. It's the future.
Everything looks so much sharper and, you know, okay. And then literally by the end of eighth grade, they were like, these are completely useless. They don't.
We had to buy a big, stupid fucking metal disc.
Yeah, you could get like the Woodstock documentary on it, Captain Ron.
That's a gem. I actually like that Kurt Russell one.
It's one of the best movies
it's a gem.
Ever made. Even Martin Short's not terrible in that. Who obviously Martin Short's best work, Clifford.
By and large, That's the one where he gets stung by the bee. Is he the one that has the worst luck in the world? And there's they're trying to find a girl who also has the worst luck. That's bad luck.
That's a Martin Short movie?
Yeah, Martin Short and, Riggs. Danny Glover.
Oh, okay.
It's the two of them. Danny Glover's like a private investigator or something. He's trying to find the girl, and I can't remember how he gets saddled with Martin Short. Maybe he realizes, like, this dude's just as terrible as, like, getting into terrible shit as she is. Perfect. I'll use him to find her.
I see. I do. I just remember. I don't think I ever saw the movie. I just remember the commercial or the trailer for it where he swells up and he's enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Clifford is the one where Martin Short, who's got to be like 40, plays a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, yeah. They put on Comedy Central a lot.
Maybe.
Something like that.
Charles Grodin plays his Uncle Martin.
Okay.
And it is phenomenal. It's such a terrible movie, and I thought it was so funny. It was so terrible in college, and when people I didn't like would come over to smoke pot, it'd be like someone I was friends with would come over, and they'd bring terrible people. I would always put on Clifford and then watch
people. To try and drive them away.
It would take like 10 minutes, and people would be like, all right, man, we're going to get out of here. I'd be like, are you sure? Hang out.
It's just getting good.
You haven't got to the good part yet.
Clifford hasn't really been Clifford yet. It's this next, it's like two scenes away, cements the character.
Uncle Martin. You're really going to get into it once, you really buy into the character.
So it was, in essence, they thought that was your widespread panic.
They realized that
Clifford.
Was
Clifford.
Clifford, bro, you got
Clifford. That ties in with the character pretty well.
It does. It is a nice touch.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, when we go back and see the archival footage of that. See the inspiration,
Dude, the spread is sick, dude. They're so fucking wild live. Have you ever even seen a man that could turn a 5-minute song into a 50-minute adventure?
Is this what you said to the dude?
This is what the widespread guy used to try and sell me.
But did you regurgitate that back to trucks? Of like, you're doing an impression of...
I don't remember. Okay. I just remember the look on his face of just like, please stop fucking talking about me in my band.
The spread, bro.
Dude, I play drums in the spread, bro.
The audience is just kind of love it.
Everyone else seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, especially if you're just like a table and a half away. You can see it. It's like a grenade. The shrapnel doesn't hit as far further out.
Yeah.
So they're not the immediate proximity.
You could tell that guy. And again, dude couldn't have been nicer. If I wasn't a terrible person, there's no way I would have been able to just continue the relentless attack of this seemingly nice human being. But...
Well, by belittling the essence of who he is, down to this annoying stoner dipshit character, having never really truly met the man.
Dude, I'm just smoking my AK-47 blueberry hybrid and listening to the spread, bro.
Wow. You never know. Maybe he follows you on Twitter now. He's a big fan.
I hope so. I really do. He, his brother's super talented.
Sure. The whole Trucks family, got to give it up to him. Plus, great name.
Yeah, the Trucks family, especially for Southern rockers.
The marriage between the two is just pretty effortless and next level on their part.
I had a girlfriend in college whose mom was she was pretty awesome, but she was a roadie, or not a roadie, a groupie.
A groupie of who?
For the Allman Brothers in the early 70s.
All right.
And you could just tell a real whore. And I remember when that movie Almost Famous came out.
And she went, oh my God, this is my life.
She goes, hey, have you seen Almost Famous? And I go, yeah, I saw it. Pretty entertaining. She goes, you know that character Red Dog? I'm like, kind of.
Which one was Red Dog?
He was a roadie for the Allman Brothers.
Okay. And
he's like in like one scene. He's basically Mervis.
Okay.
He's just this dude. Red Dog. I was going, hey, brother. He's just this wild out, wasted dude. And she's like, I actually went out with Red Dog for a little while. And my girlfriend's like, Mom, don't tell Rick these stories. He thinks it's gross. I'm like, keep telling me these stories.
Oh, in no ways is gross. It is fascinating. You are the best parent of any parent of my friends that I know. Hands down. I'm not saying that with any bullshit. You have the best story, so please continue.
Yeah.
What was his crank like? You know, give me a description. Can you give me a police sketch artist? Just, there's like the roll of fat. Did you have to like push that up?
It was thick, but I wouldn't say too thick, but well, at the same time.
Sweaty, very sweaty. I remember I had to like squeegee off with my hand.
Unshowered, for sure.
Yeah. And uncircumcised.
No, no doubt.
Oh, man. So the smell inside that fold sometimes is a bit much. Mom! I'm sorry, Rick. Should I keep going? Yes.
Please do.
Yes, you should.
I'm trying to figure out what the fuck happened to your daughter, and it's starting to make a lot more sense now.
Well, it'd be great if it just started something innocuous, like, oh, you know, the strap on my purse is broken. I remember the first time I did that, it just barrels into a fucking, oh, my God. What happened when you got your driver's license? Like, what else you got?
She was a special lady, and her dad couldn't have been more just like douchey Republican. So the combination of the parents was always bewildering, where you're just like, how do you two fit together exactly? She would never tell any cool stories when he was around.
Yeah. I had a friend that her mom was like that in high school. And then from in college, we'd come back and she still stayed in Peoria. So we'd go hang at her house every once and again.
Right.
And her mom and dad, like it was always a, how in the world?
Yeah.
The two of you. She's wild, fun, and you are uptight and by the book.
Sex just must be spectacular.
Without a doubt.
Keep them together?
No, I'm pretty sure they broke up. But years after, like, we left.
Right.
They still hung on for a while, then eventually, yes.
Yeah, it's always weird to me. I guess people probably think anyone who dates a comedian is the same way, unless they're also a comedian.
What, that they have to be funny? And
or no, it's just like, how does someone normal end up with a psychopath like every single person we know? Sociopath. Some of them are sociopaths.
Yeah, psychopath seems a little...
Only a quarter of them are psychopath.
Borderline, like genuine narcissists?
Yeah.
I know a couple.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're actually clinically whatever a narcissist, but skirting that line.
I just think there needs to be a lot more murder. I don't know where that puts me.
Well, with Pence on the case, your best weapon available is being taken off the board. You had that as a nice chess piece. You got, oh, I got my queen back. And now I can just start rifling off thousands of people at a time. And
did you just call Pence your queen?
Well, it's saying it's the most singularly powerful.
It seems like it was a homophobic comment.
Well, completely unintentionally intended. So
good. Yeah. I just wanted to verify.
Not a problem. No, just the absurdity of this guy was a governor. All right, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
Did he also work at the CDC? Because that's who I'd actually like to be in charge of this.
He is the coronavirus czar. That's all you need to know. He's going to take care of it. He's going to bring that Indiana swagger to fixing this problem. Yeah. A lot of people say diseases that come from bat blood in Wuhan, China, need just that Indiana fucking takedown.
Yeah, that Hoosier hustle.
That's really what it is. The Hoosier hustle.
Mm-hmm. Wins every time.
Dude, I mean, I'm guessing half the world's population dead by this time next year.
Do you think Pence gets upset that people half-assedly chant 46. My guess is those are paid individuals at those rallies.
Yeah.
Because they want to start planting the idea now. Hey, after 4, you get used, condition us to the idea. This is possible.
Right.
Makes sense for that. But Pence, you know, a lot of times VP, especially after a two-term,
yeah,
wants to run on their own. But if he's already being groomed for this, because if Trump continues to control the party, then he would, you know, dictate who comes next.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't really feel like Trump really likes Pence.
No.
Like, there's all these stories about him making these kind of underhanded comments about Pence to different, you know, former chief of staff and things like that, making jokes about how Pence will hate something because there's gay people there or whatever it is. So I don't know that the two get along. I think they both just, you know, they're selling the same garbage, so.
Yeah. In no way did I think that they were friends.
They got that evangelical vote because Pence is such a lunatic.
What Biden and Obama did as from the VP's perspective, that rarely happens. Usually it's like a genuine, like a mutual respect type of thing. But, you know, Gore and Clinton weren't like BFFs, but they were like, yeah, they seem friendly.
Right.
Reagan and Bush, I was a kid, so I don't remember how they really interacted.
I know that they fucked around a little bit together. A lot of people aren't aware of this, but
they space docked each other? Back and forth and back
just
and forth.
A couple of Rams, button heads, you know what I'm talking about.
I think everybody knows exactly what you're talking about.
You read that analogy.
You get that analogy? Hey, anybody out there? Anyway.
Do you see what I did there? Heads. It's anyway.
Anyway, so it's like two penises. Just going straight at each other.
Do you get that?
You catch my drift? Think of the biggest dick you can. Now, another dick going at it. I don't know how else to describe this.
Oh.
Who else? I mean,
Bush and
Cheney. But Cheney didn't have human emotions as far as we could tell.
He's a beautiful man. I would never say anything bad about old Dick.
I don't know how they ended up. I have no idea.
Well, I've seen the movies about
it. I've seen that.
And then what was the Dick Cheney movie called?
Vice.
Vice. That's what it was.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That seemed accurate.
I believe it.
Yeah.
They made it into a movie, so it's got to be real.
Well, it's like Russell Crowe on Loudest Voice.
Yeah.
Doing, what's his name from Fox News?
Roger Ailes.
Roger Ailes. Thank you.
He was way better than
I didn't
Lithgow.
See the bombshell.
Lithgow was fine, but Russell Crowe is just...
He's perfect.
Spectacularly creepy.
Yeah. Even if people
just
like,
disgusting
found fault
slob.
In the show and was like, yeah, but he is so captivatingly good,
yeah.
Is this just walking disease.
Yeah.
And it's totally worth it to me. It's like where I eventually got with Succession. I was on the fence for a long time. It took me a while to get into that show because it's like, I don't know, they're all
despicable.
They're all shitty.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of live with them for a little while to understand where the fights come from.
Yeah.
And shit like that. And now it's fantastic.
Great show. You know, I would like, what's his name? Cousin.
Oh, yeah. The tall kid.
Yeah.
The all shucksian, cousin Jake, cousin.
What's his fucking name? He's so good.
I hated him.
Greg the egg.
I hated him the first, and like they go to the bachelor party and he's kind of weird out by the drugs and I'm still on the fence. But this past season when he's, you know, he's got a little bit of leverage and watching this timid little fucker, you know, use it. It's so good.
Yeah. He's just such an idiot, but amazing idiot.
He's managed to skate by for this long because nobody really thought of him as a threat.
I love the scene where he's like, so my grandpa cut me off, but you know, even at that, I still get $5 million. So I think I'm good. And they're all just like, you're going to be the poorest rich man that ever lived. It's better to have no money than to have $5 million. He's so confused. It's so great.
Well, it's true.
It's just tremendously.
In that if you intend on living the same lifestyle, you're done.
Yeah.
You're going to be poor in less than a year's time.
Yeah.
If you want to rent the boat and go out to here and fly to this villa and do all this bullshit.
Cousin Greg. Kind of shocked that Kieran Culkin's career has maintained over the years.
Yeah, without spoiling, I want him to hook up with that other character. It seems totally realistic to me.
The older lady?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we can spoil it. Who cares?
Because I don't want to be a dick. I want somebody to get into that show and like it.
Yeah, well, they should get into it for the fact that Kieran Culkin is out there fucking grandma puss.
Well, he hasn't yet, but you'd like to believe.
He's getting there. He's going to get there.
It's just the only honest thing he's ever had in his life, at least that we've seen.
Yeah.
The rest has just been utter bullshit.
Yeah, they're all just so despicable.
Yeah, but it really works in its own specific way. How each one rises and falls.
Yeah.
And how one is literally a figurehead, but every once in a while, it gets thrown a little kernel, makes them keep pushing, and then other people, all the other jackals on the periphery, they just want all the crumbs of the power.
Yeah, and then the scene where I can't think what's the main son's name.
Shiv is the girl, and he is. See, Roman is the younger brother.
That's Kieran.
Yeah. Oh shit. Because now I'm blanking on her husband too.
Yeah, I can't remember the characters' names.
I know. Which sucks.
Logan
I
is the dad.
Yep.
Well, whatever the Don Jr. of the family.
Yeah.
Kendall? Yeah, Kendall.
Kendall.
When he's rapping at his dad's birthday party, it's just so embarrassingly terrible. Like, I genuinely felt just like, oh my God, what a fucking douche. Everyone else in the family's just like, look on Logan's face, just like, this is my son. This is what my son is.
Hey, well, and this is, in essence, my birthday gift.
Yeah.
You're going to do this in public, no less.
With the DJ. Just obviously worked that shit out.
And then with the
out.
Two families, the publishing company family, and them come together and see these two just varying degrees of we've had more money.
Forever.
So the way we do it is the best way, and the pish posh. But it seems so real and believable for that truly 1%.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a top quality show. I never got into it until a couple months ago. We just kind of binge watched all of the when it got done with the second season. I'm like, what? There's only been two seasons? It was kind of shitty. I was ready for more. I just like
it's that good though, you know.
I just like seeing people who are supposed to love each other just constantly hurt each other. It's so.
But then they have the moments of love where you can see that there's still something there. Between them, like between Shiv and Kendall in his office when he breaks down.
Yeah.
I like it. We're totally not spoiling the show. Enjoy it out there.
Listen, if you've never tuned in, it's about a family of beach bums. And they start what I would call a wacky Widespread Panic cover band. And
you got a nice cameo.
Thank you, dude. It's me, bro. Fucking Succession, dude.
Yeah, so that's the show. You know what I mean? We talk about bands, fan bases of bands we hate, and spoiling TV shows that are still on the air. So welcome to Embrace the Hate.
That's what it's all about.
It is what it's all about. I think we're good there, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Roughly thereabouts. All right, where can people find you?
Comedy Store Podcast. I'm on all the social medias, at Rick Ingram.
There you go. Hit him up. You can hit me up at Matt Nost. Please leave us a comment anywhere you get this. You can get the show on iTunes now. That was the holdup, but it's officially on there as it is everywhere else. But iTunes was kind of the big one.
Yeah.
And then it's going up on Collider. I'm not sure what day this is. They'll be able to see it. I got to talk to them.
Okay.
Just to see when they want to put it up, but I don't really care. Do you?
Makes no difference to me.
Yeah. I don't know. So you'll be seeing this whenever you see it sometime next or the week you see it. It
also,
really fucking matter.
We're doing a live podcast from a Widespread Panic concert somewhere near Bonnaroo. Not at Bonnaroo, but near Bonnaroo.
Bonnaroo.
That's right.
It's very close. It's like when you go to gaggle.com, you go to look up things. It's like, man, the results don't seem on the.
And to our loyal listeners in the Wuhan province, just keep listening. If you're going to die, make sure you click the automatic download so we can get those numbers.
Yeah. Get a rating in before you go.
Don't forget to bingai.
All right. That's it for Embrace the Hate this week.